wolnego, tak som jej aký za všetko. Si naučiť jej SSA, lečke to, šliť. Because I was legislate as members of the National Assembly. It's very exciting that now we deal with the extra, which is our caucus, of making sure that we make the laws of the country. We have much ado. Let me take this opportunity and say to members of the public also, you're welcome. We've got an apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. We also have an apology from Honourable Afrika, from other members as and when they will be arriving. We will send us continuing the meeting. We will just in advance apologize for starting the meeting in their absence. But when duty calls and when you are very conscious that the meeting starts at half past, and we have just passed half past the meeting, okay? But we are very conscious that we need to do what we are here to do. Advocate Sobekwa is leading the delegation from the Department of Transport, so we are just going to be requesting her to lead in terms of the discussions, considering the submissions probably they want to keep me let me just apologize for that. And say, advocate, we will just request you to make lead the delegation in terms of the input that have been made on the relationship in amendment bill B12 for 2015. We also have advocate Rhoda from Parliament, who from time to time will also assist members in terms of the views and what we're hearing in the bill, and then we'll take it up to the advocates next to the paper. So,
thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. I introduce myself once more as Ms. Nicole Sobekwa. We received the questions from the honorable members, and also we are familiar with the questions really as they were presented to us when we came to present the bill. We have answered them, but let me admit there were few we could still get the question right. We believe that the honourable member will articulate again in those, but that didn't mean that we didn't try to continue even on those we didn't understand. We believe that maybe if we didn't get it right, they would be articulated once more today. I'll start with the bill itself. This is the Merchant Shipping Bill 2015. It addresses the maritime labor matter as per the new convention, International Labor Organization Convention, of which the Department of Labor has ratified on behalf of South Africa. What happens to someone who is in contravention with any session of this proposed act? That was our first question. Our response, sorry.
Excuse me, Chair. Just for us, because we have a number, we've got two important documents here. But the question there, but the response question is in this session. So I see other members of the committee have been calling for that one. And then this one, these are the comments that were raised during the department's consultation period. So they were indicating how they would be affected by the comments. But the document that is leading the country is this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. That was my own question. I apologize for that. Our first question has already said, what happens to someone who is in contravention with any section of this proposal? Our response to that is that there are primary sections which provide for this together. Chapter 1 of the Primary Act, Section 8, provides for South African Maritime Safety Authority to ensure compliance with this Act. The Act, that is true, the Act provides for the authority, that is SAMHSA, to impose penalty upon admission of guilt under Section 324. Chapter 11 of this Act deals with the offences, penal provisions, and legal procedure. This provides sufficient legal data. And I will go on to explain to the Honourable Member that SAMHSA does what we call the port state control under international law, maritime. They go to the vessels and do what we call statutory inspections for all the big vessels you see coming in. Each vessel coming in that is due to the service to be inspected, some suggest that they send their information of coming to South Africa even before they started journey. They are already known. So our surveyors at SAMHSA will be going to those vessels as per requirement to inspect them. It is there that they get the sense of what is going wrong or right. Then they have a legal right to detain a vessel if the vessel doesn't comply with the convention. When they detain, when the master of the vessel admits guilt, that okay, well, then that's where the penalties will come in, the penalties that are resorted to here. If the intention is to protect children from being exploited, why should children be allowed conditionally? Shouldn't children under age 16 be prohibited to be on the vessel classified as merchant? A merchant vessel is those big ones that fall under the SOLAS Convention, Safety of Life at Sea Convention. They go all over the world. These are the vessels we're talking about. Now, our response to this one, Section 110 of the Act prohibits the employment of children. As soon as for that, it only employment sounds like. Section 111 allows the employment of young persons on board for training purposes. All training in this case is generally approved by the authority under the relevant regulation. So these are the children we are talking about. They are not children per se. It's young people who will be trained in the vessel.
In addition to that, I think it's important to note that when you talk about children, we're talking about people who are under the age of 16 years. When we talk about young persons, the Act demands women such as 18 as people under the age of 18 years. So that is a distinction. So the young persons are the ones who are allowed to be on board the ship for purposes of training under strict supervision, and they're not going to have notes of those kind of those people that will be in the message. Thank you.
Thank you. Phase 1, Section 2G, exclusion of the pilot makes sense following the insight in the committee. However, excluding master is not. The definition replaces the definition of seaman as remains. The master is the owner, the representative on ownership. And in most cases, his responsibilities are defined throughout the act. Or a cadet is a trainee on board a ship. And there are specific sessions dealing with them, which means that everybody in a vessel has his own duties. Like the definition there of the master as the owner's representative on board. And he has his own responsibilities, which are quite different from other people. A cadet is a trainee. He has got his own responsibilities, which are different from a master or a pilot. Page 3, definition, medical examination of cadets, excluding cadets that contradicts, in my opinion, with definition of a seafarer. Why would only cadets be subject to medicals? Does this, by implication, not exclude the rest? Our response. The rest are not excluded, as stated in 3C above. The section only deals with cadets and apprentice officers. Section 101 of the Act deals with the rest of the crew. So which means that nobody is excluded. And also maybe from a personal view, the cadets are at entry of training. Entry, they should be the ones the act is articulating on them because they are being introduced to the business. There are other people who have already had any kind of training already. So we are dealing with cadets here and apprentice officers. Page 5, section 11, what would adequate mean? / also proper? Adequate, that is our response, refers to the acceptable means necessary for the seafarer to return to his proper return port. This includes necessary accommodation, food, and travel expenses. Proper, in the context of the proper return port, which is defined in the Act. Proper return port, as defined in the Act. Proper return port in relation to a master, seaman, or apprentice officer discharged or left behind means the port at which the master, seaman, or apprentice officer was engaged, or the port in a country in which the master, seaman, or apprentice officer is domiciled, or a port agreed as such by the master, seaman, or apprentice officer as decided by the proper officer. Six, page 7, section 158A, complaints procedure, alignment with labor law. And now here the question really is not clear, but it is answered really. Generally, the South African labor laws do not apply mutatis mutandis on board ships as shown in the basic conditions of the Employment Act 1997, section 3. However, the International Convention provides for guidelines on labor, which is suitable by foreign administration and provides, also not suitable, auditable by foreign administrations and provide international consistency, which means that the administrations are able to audit and align with their national requirements of their national legislation somehow. What IMO does is to give the guidelines when they are regulating. My knowledge and my understanding is that IMO allows the member states to align with their national legislation, but you don't deviate from what has been decided at international law. You just twist a little bit. And then if it is required by the national legislation that you should do that kind of, you need to tell the organization. You write to the organization so that it is known that in South Africa there is this requirement. Like, for instance, an example is that South Africa is a developing state, it's a new democracy, and it cannot be like countries like United States and England that is 50 that are already in place. And also the type of population we are dealing with here is another one, quite different from Europe. So in legislation, don't just go straight and fit in. So that's why now the national legislation, people have got to look at it. And whilst implementing the convention, you also consider the domestic. So that's why they say that IMO gives the guideline. An example there is that Basic Conditions of Employment Act 1997. That act is not in the whole world. Really, it's a South African act. So what we do is just to align. We implement the international requirements, aligning also with what we have at home. If you deviate much, you have to tell them. Page 9. Section 251, every provision of this act, is outside the Republic, being permissible only in any such. Now here, I don't understand the question, but it's like that, it came like that from the honorable member. But we really didn't understand, it was very, very difficult to respond to this one. We will request the honorary members to articulate them.
This is page 8 and page 9.
Page 9, I'm sorry, I even corrected it myself now. Yes, thank you, honorary members, page 9. So what is not clear there is the question itself. So we're struggling to answer it, and then we resort to come back to the honorary members on that. 9. Are there any vessels, ships, excluded from this act? If so, which ones? Subsistence and recreational fishing. Section 3 of the act, generally, the act excludes defense force ships of the Republic or any other country. There are specific exemptions, exclusions, and exceptions throughout the act. All conventions we've developed at the IMO or anywhere else, I think, including other UN specialized agencies, ICAO, we don't regulate the naval vessels. They don't fall under our jurisdiction as member states at IMO. They have their own laws, let me put it that way. They have their own laws. So that is exemption number one. There are others generally as said in the act. Definition, that is then question. Cicero excludes a master, a pilot, a cadet, vessels proposed substitution of section 92. No person shall be employed as a cadet on any ship until that person has passed the color and vision test, certified by a medical practitioner, approved by the proper officer, and physically fit for sea service. why not a sister? What about master, pilot, etc.? What would be approval by a proper officer entail? Our response, master, pilot, etc. are dealt with in section 101. These are already trained personnel, they've undergone the process. The approval of a medical practitioner is detailed in the Merchant Shipping Medical and Airside Regulation 2004, published by the Minister under Section 356. Understanding that nobody else could do that kind of work except somebody who is medically qualified. 11. Is there a difference between a seafarer and seaman? Page 4. Page 2. 1. Fishers, fishing convention. So now here we need to see if there is a difference between those two. No. The answer is no. The Act is moving away from seamen, which has a gender bias on it, towards a seafarer. The meeting from my personal view once more with the international community, I know the world, how they work. What we agree there that there is no difference. And also there are bias, gender bias issues that are considered. Also, a seafarer really, they are articulating on the sonar system those vessels where they go out internationally, really. They are strict to call them seafarers, not that others are not going to see like the fishermen. They go to see as well. But in the context of this convention, this convention, because even in the solar they do the same. They are very strict with those who hold these big vessels, because they are the ones who are mostly exposed to all kinds of things, including the human rights issues and all, because they are far away from home. Otherwise, we get out. Page 5, adequate provision for the maintenance. Adequate provision for the maintenance, proper return port, and then we say, refer to question 5 above, so that the answer. Question 5, I don't know if the members want us to go back to question 5. 13, page 7, 18, complaint procedure on board a South African ship should be in accordance with this Act. Should they be in accordance with this Act, complaint procedure on board a South African ship? Honorable members must remember, a South African ship is also obliged to observe this convention. Whatever this convention is saying, South African must observe that. Do if South Africa is a member to the convention? If South Africa was not a member, then it's not obliged, though it is expected. Do we have jurisdiction on non-South African owner of a ship and crew who travels out of South African waters and fails to comply? Contradictory to page 9251, every provision of this Act. Contradictory to 39251, every provision of this Act. Outside the Republic, in relation to South African ships, owners, crew, shall be construed as being permissive. Outside the Republic, in relation to South African ships, owners, crew, shall be construed as being permissive. Any such court or functionary is empowered to exercise authority. Now, the question might appear not too clear, really, but we still have answers. The question is unclear. However, we can state the following. The Ship Registration Act defines a South African ship as one which is wholly owned by a South African citizen of majority shares held by a South African, so the situation above cannot arise. Section 8 provides for the application of the Act on a foreign vessel in the South African territorial waters. Now, to add to what is said here, my knowledge is that as long as a vessel registers under our flag, we have a jurisdiction on it. We regulate it. By mere fact that is registered under the Ship Registration Act of South Africa, it means that we have powers to regulate. If we want to say we request 20% of the crew to be South African, they will be forced to be obliged that as long as they want to register under our flag, or as long as the law in our country says so. That's what is going to happen now that we want to revive our flag. We are going to have our own regulations, which will be observed by any vessel that comes into our territorial waters. So a vessel that is here, these vessels that are bathing here or are chewing here, as long as they are in our territorial waters, we have jurisdiction on them. And also, they know, because they are signatories at IMO, they know that South Africa is a signatory to IMO. So any vessel that comes in here, it comes in here knowing but that they are going to get the same law they know. Because the vessels are regulated in their national basically. We go to those meetings, we are representing South Africa in those meetings so that we are part of the law formulation at that level. So we cannot give them strange laws, really. That's why IMO gives us even the guidelines. If you are regulating, go along this line. So that is what is really happening. So you know what they are going to get in our body. In case of injury, discharge, or left behind, I think that this refers to a member of the group, personnel, seafarers, charged or dies or is returned. So these are the conditions that are put that might happen to the seafarers. Who decides about this? Now, a vessel headmaster, he is in charge. Everybody listens. They are at sea. There's no mother, there's no father, there's no aunt. They are with the captain. They take instructions from the captain. But that doesn't mean that they are quiet. They cannot voice anything, really. They have a right to say something to the captain, then the captain must listen. Shouldn't the sister have a say in this? Our response is, the sister should have a say because decisions would be about a sister in some instances. Fishers have the right to medical treatment ashore and the right to be taken ashore in a timely manner for judgment. The captain of the vessel, some of the things I'm saying because I attend meetings at IMO, so I can give a brief information. The captain knows the laws we have what we call a port of refuge, which means that anything that is happening to the vessel when it is here in our territorial waters or next to us, we are expected by the international community to assist. This is us. That is emphasized at IME. Now, who takes the decision then? It's the captain. Even the captain will make the point that he communicates with any nearby port if he has problems and or including dying people or the crew is sick. That is why at sea we have so many government departments, including health. If the captain is calling, is communicating that the crew is sick, South Africa should be able to assist the crew, and then what we do in the Department of Transport is to call or communicate with the Department of Health. If it is a disease like Ebola, for instance, or any other disease that you can get, that's where now health laws of quarantine kick in. The whole crew will be quarantined by health. Now our answer, apart from my own question. Question is not clear, however, which is true, I was trying to get it, but I couldn't, but I said let me put something so that we will stay there. A sister who has died had no sense. See now, the question honorable members wants to say, the sister has to talk. He must be given an opportunity to talk. But some of them are dead, which means now the master must be in charge to talk for the dead sister, communicate to the near court, communicate, the near court is going to communicate to the High Commissioner of Immigration and the Home Affairs or High Commissioner of that country in South Africa must be able to know because the sister is dead. The captain must make every means so that there could be communication. He takes decisions on that. And also a final one. There are various reasons the sister could be left behind. Admitted in hospital, the captain will leave. Absent without leave, sometimes somebody just steals away and leaves their vessel. In South Africa, the vessel was betting in South Africa, somebody decides to remain in South Africa, and he becomes a star over here. Refusal to rejoin the ship. We have those kinds like in stowaways in Richards Bay. Some of them are people who just say, okay, now I'm in South Africa. I wanted to be in South Africa for so many years. Let me get out of this vessel. So now, the captain left the crew. The number is just not what he was supposed to be. So that's why we say these things do happen. Refusal to rejoin the ship. Maybe he is the ship is in South Africa. They are getting there in the town. And then he decides to enter the port of South Africa to go to shop in the mall because they are allowed to do that. He doesn't come back. He means nothing is refusing to join the ship again. Etc. Which by their means the sister has had her or his say. Now that is a state taking another decision and to decide to remain in Kenya instead of moving to with the better to India. The captain now will look at the issues of contracts. How does this contract of this person work? So he takes decisions accordingly. But this is where I should take decision by himself. Question 15, page 10, 26, criteria. Will he engage in flying between ports in the Republic of South Africa? I should think that RAS is the Republic of South Africa. While the ship is in the Republic of South Africa, shall be binding on seafarer while the ship is outside the RSA, what does this mean? You need to hear, apart from other things, is what does holy engaged mean? If they are wholly engaged between courts in the Republic of South Africa, why would they go outside of the Republic of South Africa? Why would this apply on crew and not the vessel owner? One other thing, honorable members, a vessel owner is not always single vessel. In as much as we always find difficulties to identify a vessel owner, there are so many of them. Really, there are many people. Even when you have a problem like that problem we had long ago, it was very difficult to identify the owners of the vessel. Even when we do pre-arrival information, these are the problems we always get to find the owner, the real owner of the vessel. Now, our answer here to the question, what does wholly engaged mean? The section in the Act is titled Application of Certain Labor Laws to Seamen. Wholly engaged means engaged in voyages in South African waters. Wholly engaged in voyages in South African waters. This refers to a foreign ship. So, there is a possibility for the ship to be out of the country. We agree that this could be better region, really. This refers to a foreign ship. So, there is a possibility for the ship to be out of the country. That's why we say only engaged, which means that that time is engaged in South Africa, but it could be out of the country. D, it only applies to them in the context of the whole section. Questions 16. Number 16, the question is, since according to the convention, members may exercise inspection, that is that court state control I told you about, on each other. Inspections on each other. Court state control is simply means statutory inspections. Fees? Now, which means that the question was to know, are there any fees that are paid to do that kind of a job by whoever? Our answer is, the fees are determined in the determination of charges under the South African Maritime Safety Authority Act. Which means now the answer is taking the South African context. It's the South African Maritime Safety Act that is determining the charges, really, determination of charges. Which means, if I may explain further, we have the seafarers that would be, as an example, be requested by another country, not seafarers, the surveyors and inspectors. That would be requested by another country. I know that when I used to work at SAFSA, France used to like to invite our inspectors in any country, including Mozambique or Namibia, they can request the surveyors or inspectors from SAFSA to come and do inspections. Now that's where now those charges are determined by the South African Maritime Safety Authority as to what they are going to charge for doing that. But they cannot do that in another country, determined for another country. 833, determinations of categories of persons, unclear and very open. Competent authority in each member state, consultation by whom, dispute, no clear direction, bargaining council, equals bargaining councils, maybe. Generally, in South Africa, SAMHSA, South African Maritime Safety Authority, is a competent authority. It is not open. We have one competent authority, SAMHSA. On matters related to the bill, and also on matters relating to the maritime matters in general, because SAMHSA is the administration in South Africa. Whilst the SOLAS Convention is saying the administration, SOLAS Convention is the Safety of Life at Sea Convention, is defining an administration as a government, but we have an agency in South Africa, SAMHSA, that is doing the government work, so that they become a competent authority on that matter. And also the capacity they have technically to do the work in the SOLAS. Page 23, question, prohibiting to employ a young person to work at night. Yeah, prohibiting to employ a young person to work at night. Now, the question is not structured really. That's why we said it is unclear. So, which means that now we can answer, try to answer in any direction. Really, we already said before that the young people really are regulated. We take care of them. That should not be happening to them. That is the form of protection, really. Honorable members, I think I have exhausted the questions as presented to the department. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate. Honorable members, the questions which were indicated that the investigating followers. Okay. Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got nothing further to add.
Members, are there other matters that members if they need to raise? Nothing?
Honorable Chairman. Let me just take clarity. On the question 18. I think if you're gonna imply the similar laws of child aids or of that children's let's say your children and life still will be allowed in the future, because when speaking about a young person waking at night. You know, when you speak about the young person and the child, those are two different things. So I just hope you understand. You know, see when I play the young man, that is not a child. So I'm trying to think about the issues, because here it's about the young man, and to speak about the
young
person.
Explain this young person issue, because we have young people on the train, on the buses, that young person, that's what it is, those who are being trained on the buses. What I think it should be happening here, all the question was what I think it should say, we have to protect the foundation of each lady, they are to say, there are so many more especially in mind. So I think the captain needs to take proper on that. That one, even if it were not the convention, really the captains are old people. They need to take care of young people under general. But already that one is not the student more than me on this one. Or in a better way.
Thank you, Advocate. I think you've articulated very well. I said young person refers to persons under the age of 18 years, and child refers to people under the age of 18 years. And the young person that can be employed are only engaged in supposedly doing intensive training or the intensive program. So they are under supervision, and the master should be very clear and aware that they are young persons. They must be in his permit book that so and so is a young person that needs to be in the ship under the supervision.
Not a young man, really. A young man. I think this
young men is in your mind?
You can check it under section 110, employment of children and ship prohibited. Then under 111 section, employment of young persons and performance of firemen. So that's where you get how young men are protected. Under from 8 to 111, they define what a young person is. And also under 110, they define what a young children is.
I'd like to appreciate your responses, but nevertheless, just clarity, which is concerning me. I think it was questions earlier. That's why I got to say, you said generally, the South African labor laws do not apply that this modalities. You see, on board ship, also in the basic condition, Employment Act. Yes, I agree. I also acknowledge the issue of international convention. But what was concerning us about the issue of compliance, whereby some countries, I don't know where have you been, those two ships to see sometimes, because some of the ships, to eyes, maybe not to the eyes of any. But in reality, when you arrive there, practically you can see that this is not correct. And then what was worrying us about this, that we must have actually been to protect. Because some countries, they don't matter to them. Yes. My concern is that maybe if you can clarify us better, if this makes sense.
Thank you, honourable member. The International Maritime Organization understands that member states have a responsibility to dismiss seafarers when they are in their territorial waters. It also emphasizes signatories to the IMO Convention to make it a point that they assist as much as possible. That is why when they have developed a convention like this one, they also develop guidelines. That is why they also allow the flexing or the what states, not flexing. They allow the both states or their membership to apply their own domestic law when there is a need. Once we have the convention, the international community doesn't kill the domestic law. That is why they say the domestic law must align with the international convention, and they end up giving the guidelines. They know that the member states differ. They differ in so many things. For instance, what you get in America, you won't get in South Africa. Now, South Africa has its own way. An example, maybe let me make an example. An example is a statement in all maritime law books that say a vessel or a ship that has a sick crew is unseaworthy or is not seaworthy. That vessel must be detained when it comes to your port. Those people must be assisted. That's why I raised the issue of quarantine. It's the form of assisting. So, whilst doing that now, the domestic legislation where the vessel is kicking in, whether the international community likes it or not. Because if we allow these seafarers to enter our ports whilst the captain has already communicated, that is the disease that is broken up. It's caught up with the same disease. And then we're closer to your port. Then just say end as the son. It cannot be like that. The domestic law must kick in. So I think I'm trying to say you are there to implement what you have to assist the sister. Thank you.
Thank you, Cherisha. It was also thank you, Presidente, for the information that they've given us. My question does not necessarily relate to the bill, but is just a clarity-seeking one, or information-seeking one. As a person who has never been in the water, I just want to understand the communication there, how, when you want to raise an alarm, maybe as a seafarer, maybe there's an irregularity. Maybe the problem is between the master and the seafarer or whoever. Is it an open? Can a seafarer communicate to the outside, or is it only to the master or the captain? How is communication there at the sea, at the water? Thank you.
Thank you, honourable member. This is a very valid question. The assistance, the procedures in the vessel itself. If a vessel is in distress, or the seafarers are in trouble of any form, there are communication systems in the form of radios. They communicate with the MRCC. There's an MRCC here in Tita. They work 24/7, really. They are receiving those kinds of distress signals. They are maps and all. They see the sea while they are in their own room, control, they call it the control. So anything that is happening to any vessel, yes, they are able to communicate. Now, of late, we also have what we call the long-range identification system. They will be able to pick up that vessel, if whatever it is, really. There is a sort of a satellite that is communicating with South Africa, what people are here. And also, even the vessels that are around that vessel, if the master is telling other vessels, because there's a law that says they must assist one another, I think. Anybody else must be able to communicate with SAMHSA here, MRCC, or the port itself, the National Port Authority. Thank you,
honourable members. Then what we do is request the department to take us through the submissions which have been made by various organizations which have been incorporated into the bill.
Thanks. In fact, in our previous presentation, we have already had a slide on consultation that has been done and the comments that have been received. Like I normally say, with the legislation or amendments to legislation of MIS conventions, you don't normally get a lot of input from various stakeholders because they emanate from international conventions. There's no much that you can deviate from the convention. Except if something is directly in conflict with South African law. But in that instance, you normally know the other nation for that particular article of the convention that applies. With the same comment on government legislation, this document, on your spare time, you can read it again, the document that you have circulated, the comments from government jurisprudence. But maybe the difficulty that you might have is that the comments by government and jurisprudence were comments on our original document that was published for comments. And then this particular bill is a product of that original document. So I just need to say that. But nevertheless, the comments by government and jurisprudence were to the point, and most of them have been taken into account and they have been rejected. For instance, under this document, under Clause 1, there was a proposition by them that we should use the definition of seafarer throughout, of seamen throughout, but that has not taken into account because we wanted to be gender sensitive and we have used seafarer throughout and done with seamen. And
if I may, principal intervention. I just want to ask, who is Bowman in Gilfillan?
Thanks. Bowman and Gilfillan is a member of the public, but they are form of a company, which is a law firm. So when we publish for public comment and stuff like that, anyone can tell you, we can comment on anything. So they have 18 inputs on this particular thing.
The reason that I'm saying that is because you must be able to understand the perspective of which the comments are coming from. Because if it's a private firm, it's working well. You know, we must be able to understand that. And if it's a community member, or it's a person that works in the, or that works within that business, so that you can be able to understand. So when you talk about this, you say it's a law firm, I must be able to also shift my focus to say, okay, a law firm that understands the laws about these things, because our consideration should not compromise the interests of public for personal individuals who want to manifest their own interest in this industry. That's why I want to get the chance before, because every time when I get something, I'm able to understand the background of this person representing this thing. This person, okay? So it's fine.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Comment is filled in the Federation of Africa, and the fact that they issued this comment by means of the letter H remains the collective, the company itself. But obviously, they've got divisions within the company. So the one that is responsible for marketing and related issues, obviously, has been given document to deal with, but issued under its company signature. They have proposed that we use the word seaman throughout the act, but that was not taken into account because we wanted to substitute seaman into a seafarer for the purpose of not being gender biased. Cabinet also, when we presented to them, they supported, and it was one of their conditions of approval that we should use the word seafarer throughout the act was done. So they were not complimented by cabinet. They suggested that we insert certain definitions within the act. A definition like production ship, fishing vessel, maritime labor convention, and maritime, the right decision convention was also taken into account, and those definitions have been included in section 1 already. The other, in clause 7, there was a typo in our original bill which was corrected instead of putting A, as A was substituted to use the word as A. The other suggestion by the government was just the writing of certain existing sections so that they can be read as friendly. For instance, they suggested the reweighting of section 102 paragraph I to reach the amount of the successive sales information annual, the applicable formula used to calculate annual and the remuneration level during that period of leave. The comment was taken into account and it is effected in the bill. The proposed amendment was the substitution of the weight ship owner for the weight owner. The input has been considered and the weight owner was maintained and used throughout the act. They also suggested in the survey that we, instead of using the weight paid, we should use remuneration, because remuneration is a weight that's normally used in labor legislation. And in fact, our original act was using remuneration and we wanted to another to say paid, but that was also taken into account in the effect. And that's that particular which has explained in the survey. On 8, they propose amendment to the way to engage in time between body and public in this section to be, so that this section should be retained. We have retained this particular way in the act because we wanted to amend this, as they said, it has a lot of implications if we remove it. As the advocate has already explained, what is the meaning of fully engaged in time between body and public. The act was also, they suggested that certain provisions should be amended so that they can be user-friendly. For example, the typos like South Africa ship, that has been the first step to take out South Africa ship. So it's just going to make sure that it can be user-friendly. The proposed amendment of section 121 to improve the wording of the previous provision has been taken into account. This was also reflected on the section. And then also, 15, there was a full referral to outdated legislation, the National Welfare Act of 2078, which has been crafted by the Ambassador for Water and Social Development, so we have referred to the current legislation. 18, they suggested reweighting of Section 1581. The proposed amendment of 1582A, the addition of the rate consolidated, was effective. Here they said we should remove the weight consolidated because our original convention, we said consolidated maritime labor convention, and that was not a short agreement. So that can be removed. The proposal of maritime labor convention and the wage inflation convention 55, that has been done in question one. Suggested that the maritime labor convention and the wage inflation convention have the force of law. So given the two conventions to have the force of law by attaching them to the convention, but they can form part of the domestic legislation, the input also have taken into account in effective. They suggested that in the event the seafarers complain to their master and cannot resolve, it should be escalated. So they wanted to create a layer whereby if the seaman complains, the seafarer complains to the master, and the master can never can resolve, where does the seafarer complain or can take, which high authority can they complain? We have done that, the authority, means the structural master authority, the one that the seafarer can also complain to, then they can continue the investigation. The proposed amendment to section 162, that will reduce the number of complaints mechanisms from 3 to 2 is not correct. Here they missed the point in terms of our original claim. We have here amended the 3 complaints procedure and they are still 3. Reference to seamen has been changed to seafarer. Reference to original piece of operations, waste control will change. This was their last comment. And we also had a question in the extract of confidential amendment. Then the other commentator was the FAMSA. FAMSA is our entity in the department where we develop the bill all the time together with them. So this particular bill was presented together with them. NEDLEC, we have attached the NEDLEC report in there whereby they have agreed to this particular bill. And I recommend that we can proceed to present the settlement satisfied by the authors here. The bill was also submitted to the DG cluster, governance cluster, and they also commented on this bill after the question and ultimately recommended that we can seek approval to present the parliament. Then after the cluster, DG cluster, it went to cabinet. And cabinet approved the bill with the condition that the waste should be consistently used in the health and that has been taken into account. This particular comment complemented all the comments by the government president. These are the comments that we have received from members of the public. Thank you.
Honorable
members,
thank you, Chairperson. I've also gone through the information that I've received and I've also gone to the table and I can agree that the changes have been affected, as it affects the public.
Honorable members,
The implication of clause 8 advocate the implication of clause 8 of those ways wholly against blame to the bottom quality. I'm trying to get the clarity in terms of what is the legal implication in terms of removal clause 8.
Sorry, did the member say of removing those words? In terms of that particular section, there's obviously, as with the public, there's a different registration process in terms of ships and objects coming into the country. But the words how we engage is obviously those refer to international ships who then come into the ports and who are, they might not stay in one particular port at a particular time. So they might move between, let's say, they might come from New York and then have go past Cape Town and then stop at Richards Bay on the way to, say, India. So while they are here, they are wholly engaged in our coastline. So from Cape Town to Richards Bay, they are wholly engaged there in that area. for that what the meaning of the legal implications is. It's not so much a legal as a contextual issue.
So, further to assist all of that, if I can relate the reasoning to a higher technical body in this particular way, they say it is not about the draft or proposes to remove the ways fully engaged in flight between parties and parties. Given that there are in practice South of African registrars or licenses, a very association flying court for Africa, each employee for African citizen of the school, one must question the wisdom of using this way from the different conditions. Indeed, such a provision may provide a loophole for owners to register vessels offshore, so as to employ South African crew of any age, which would defeat the purpose of the provision. It is therefore submitted that this way serves a useful purpose and should not be treated but retained in an amendment for the national state. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other things? I think we are, in terms of these members, what will be left for us to go in our next session, guided by the commentary that has been so far, I'll say we're done. In this regard, in terms of our agenda, we now have to go into item 2. Which is adoption of the report. The report of the Portfolio Committee on International Convention on Standards of Training, that is the report that we are supposed to adopt. Have you considered the request for approval by Parliament of the International Convention on Standards of Training, Certification and Watchkeeping for Sea for fishing vessels personnel 1995 STCW/F and explanatory memorandum that referred to each document that the House in terms of section 231 of section 2 of the Constitution approved the said convention. How to be considered? Any Honorable
Ramasakan, second? Yes, Honorable Mulawuzi. Yes, I concur.
Right. Honorable
Kunsina. Is this the budget
shipping bill? No.
So what is this?
This is the International Convention on Standards of Training, Certification and Watchkeeping for Fishing Vessels Personnel 1995.
So what are we doing?
Honorable
Ramasaka. No, I think the honorable member is asking what is it? The only thing that is not accompanied the resolution is what we have discussed before. This was discussed by the committee before. If you remember, the presentation was made about this. And we then said we agree. We move on and we agreed on that day. But that the resolution of the minutes does not suffice in terms of the procedure. It has to be in a resolution as stipulated here. So we just formalizing one of the leaders of committee.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, Honourable Member.
Agreed.
Honourable Member, can we now consider and approve the minutes of the previous meeting? Minutes of the 9th of June. Proceed, can we look at page 1 of the minutes?
I believe,
thank you very much. Page 2, which has got attendance, officials in attendance, apologies.
Agreed.
Page 2. page 3, on checkbook item 3, discussion.
Yeah, 3.
Page 4, which actually dealt with Houghton Freeway Improvement Project, e-port dispensation.
Agreed.
Lastly, the meeting was adjourned at 18:10 of that particular day. Agreed to?
Agreed.
For the long day. So today you have a short day because we have to close those 10 minutes.
To turn into that day.
Can we get move out the adoption of the minutes?
Can I just ask something?
Okay, Honorable.
Thank you, Chair. I don't see any reference in the minutes under section 3. Referring to the fact that it was said that the cabinet approved, which I regard as a crucial statement. Later on in questions it was said that it was approved, but it wasn't certain whether there are any recommendations from cabinet, and I think those are important aspects to just mention.
I think that will be added to, because as Mr. Ponyang was presented, those were the sentiments that kept on coming, that it was presented to cabinet, it was approved, they're still waiting for the memorandum from cabinet, which will be able to indicate some, if there will be issues that will be amended. But I also think, also as a committee, there was one honourable member who raised the question as to whether can we, once cabinet has approved, still have add-ons onto some of the issues that we prepare as a committee believe that the policy might have, because we're talking from two documents. There was a draft which members really internalized, and then there was a document which was taken to cabinet. So these were two different documents which actually the contestation by members was as well. Some of the issues which have been removed from the draft that we were working on and some of the ideas that members were coming with, can they still have an effect in terms of the policy? So probably we will also want to be looking into it.
Any other issues? Can we move for adoption of the minutes?
Move adoption with amended to the section that on the page on item 2.
Okay. Secular?
Yeah.
Oh, you finished that one and let it go.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Second that chair was here.
Honourable members, I'm asking because it's just a brand new federal income out of the prostitute bed, so that's what I'm checking. If you was there, but you can see that he was brand new hair. Yeah, Philip was feeling in him.
I
think. Thank you very much, honourable members. It looks like but that's
no, the second one.
Oh, the second set of minutes.
Yes.
Yes.
The second set of the
The minute of the 2nd of June, I started with the 9th of June. Can we go into the first page of the minutes? Agreed to second page of the minutes.
Agreed.
Consideration of cross-border and the national scholar policy, can we go to the third page of the mail? Agreed to. Any matters arising from the minutes, no questions, no amendments? Can we move for the adoption of the minutes? Honorable Hadebe, any seconder? Any seconder?
Mulamzi was not there, can't second it. Thank you very much. The other thing, thank you very much. I will release the department and then remain with the committee, honorable members. Remember, we had our workshop past two Saturdays, and we just want to really quickly finalize our outstanding issues from the APP, the strike plan issues. The committee section will take us through what the department has been raised.
At the last meeting on our APP, there were agreements on by the Senator on how it would slot legislation in terms of the criminal department, especially in relation to the outstanding legislation, the MLTA, and the article that the committee wasn't sure when it was coming, and it will be decided that those in terms of the APP will be slotted towards the fourth quarter. But see, the issue that was raised also by Dr. Mizzi and myself was on the decision by the committee on the focus area for oversight, particularly until the end of the financial year. The parliamentary program was updated last week. So the oversight period that are there now, it's July, from the 21st on the 31st of July, and it looks like the committee is going to finalize the bill on the 21st of July, which is earlier than expected, so there's a two-week period, possibly the committee could utilize. Instead of this new program that was set on Friday, the 15th till the 26th of September, two-week period will also now be an oversight period. But there's a possibility, Chair, of for the second week, the week of the 22nd of September, there's a possibility that there might be a joint sitting on the 22nd, and the 24th of September is also public holiday, so that might impact on any travelling in the second week. So the safe week, Chair, is the week of the 15th of September. Then there will be an oversight period from the 24th to the 28th of November, and for this year. Next year, the oversight period is from the 26th of January till the 10th of February. That is a long 1.5 weeks focus on committee and oversight work. The Chair, for the APP, the committee has to give an indication what their focus areas would be for those periods set aside for oversight, bearing in mind, as we indicated, that if the committee is going to, the department is going to table the NLTA and the ARTO bill, as they said they will, then it will have an impact on the committee's ability to go on oversight, especially for the November period and the January-February period.
Honourable members, proposals in terms of oversight for July, September, November, January, February, what is it that we believe we can be able to be oversight over? Honourable Ramataka, see your hand.
You know, Chair, at the beginning of the input, I was not writing, so can I just check? So the oversight period, the first one is in July.
July, yes.
You say the 21st of July. And then You said the next one is the 15th of September, mm-hmm. the week of the 15th of September.
Yes.
And the third one is at November
24th. Yes.
And then January.
Yes.
Now, I don't know, the section may help us here. When we had our workshop, we did talk about the study for the oversight on the coaches 2.0. We did mention that either should be in July or we did say either November. I don't know whether we shouldn't say, I don't know, July is impossible because we're already July. And I must say that I did manage to get hold of, talk to ask the chair of the board what has happened to the discussion about the invitation. He indicated that there was an oversight of his side. He should have submitted the letter to us some time back. And then he promised that he would have sent that letter last week. I don't know whether that has been sent, but that was when after the workshop when I reminded him. Now, he was still talking July, but as far as I can see July, it's not possible for us to have a week of a decision like that. So we should just decide that in July we'll do an oversight inland. And then we should then say November, and then we will do this if it's November 24th. But the challenge of November, if I can talk about it, there's a period here of the medium term by the statement which comes out of October sometime to be finalized beginning of November or mid-November. It might impact on us if there is a the environment of the department that would require some consideration, the BRRR, da 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 da. So November might be another problem for a long haul oversight. It may look like it needs September and January in the equation. Normally when the hand is like that, in the air. So I think we should consider September or January. But sometimes these places are cold. I don't know, Brazil in January to February.
Cold.
Same as
here.
We are safe.
Okay, all the same.
Yeah.
Thank you,
you know, first of all, you need to thank the secretary to sensitize us about this. But to say, as members, why don't we agree that if any member wanted to propose something in this space, can we leave open at least send communication, but also things which we have covered by honorable colleague here, that to sensitize us about the issue of the medium term, which is coming very soon, that we want to be careful of the service. Why don't we leave now that, I think she was, that's why I started by commending her first, that she reminded us that there is this service and this service and this. Then leave it there. So that if maybe our doctor to research has more information about some of these aids, so that when we bring the aids back, people must be taken by surprise. People must know that things came to our attention, that our program might change because of this. That's what I was proposing there. Because we can hope, we can stick to those aids while maybe some proposal will come and change it again as well.
I think what should happen from here, because we have started those days in terms of the oversight over PRASA in Brazil, we just need to remind the chairperson of PRASA to send an invitation, which actually should be an invitation that is open-ended in terms of the date. We will decide which date we will be able to analyze in this regard. And processes that will take place with the parliamentary processes and procedures in terms of the oversight. Those are the things that I think Honorable Ramatakala is trying to put into this whole thing to say that there will be processes from within parliament which actually have so, of that oversight, but we would like to remind the chairperson of PRASA, the chairperson of the board of PRASA, that this is something that is still outstanding. Honorable Chairperson, welcome.
Chair, I'm really sorry about this quarter and other commitments, but I believe my colleague handled this one. I just wanted to contribute. I agree with Honorable that we need to look at the legislative program that's very good to help us and see which is the one that kind of has a, you know, somebody has this where it's basically some theories and the pressure less on us. And I sense that either September or January that may be a time that we need to reconfirm. And then if I may suggest as well is whenever we having to go and visit the counterparts, in this case Brazil and so forth, perhaps just informally ask them would they be available and provide a time for us. It's all very well planned on our side, and then we find that our hosts may have a problem with their time schedule or the place, so I'd like to make a suggestion as well.
No, Chair, maybe let's be specific, sort of avoid generality. We should be saying, because we already worked out the case for Brazil visits. We did submission for Brazil visits. Why we although maybe we have titled the study tour, it's actually not a study tour. We must change the heading to an oversight on the coaches. So we must say September of this year, 2015. Now you must remember or remind me, Chair, there were two legs to this Brazil thing. There is a Germany issue and there is a Brazil issue. So the chair was talking about doing the kind of a detour, which I was saying to him maybe longer than 10 days, which is prohibited. You can't go on one trip more than that, if my memory serves me right. So we probably have to break down into two. Go to Brazil on the key program of coaches in September, and cancel in the January for Germany, the other issue about the insurance and other issues in Germany. So, yes, that for January. Then we would proceed to amend the program, the committee program, to suggest that this is what we, it's two different areas and two different set of things that are dealing with, but all under oversight, not necessarily standing for. And then I want to suggest, Chair, that we then pen a letter under your signature to the to PRASA CEO to indicate that in our program this is what we have put into our program, that we would expect them to make the necessary arrangement including what the program may entail. That equally once it's going to, I think that the Honorable the greatest point will come in terms of the preparation. Once that is in place, then everything will kick into action. Similarly, in both January and September, we do the same thing. One letter, this is our indications at the moment, so they can then come back to us. Because waiting for the chairman, and the chairman forgetting to send it a week from week to week, it's we can't be in limbo because we're waiting. We need to have this because after all the money is passed by us, we are the one that must follow the money. There are lots of other rumors about the money, so we need to follow the money in terms of the oversight. Chair, the specificness on the I like the point that the Honourable here indicated about the community section. What was outstanding in terms of the list of things that you were summarizing for us on various decisions and the things that you were asking the department for us to be able to undertake an oversight on the 21st of July? Even take in terms of the act, but you can then say this is in terms of the suggestions. This was outstanding, and this was outstanding, then we do that in November. That's easily, it can be easily done, basically, in terms of the program for the or things that are outstanding from our previous oversight and the follow up issues.
Yes. I just wanted to clarify something as well, for the week of the 21st of July, I think the priority would be to finalize the law. But something came up that I forgot to talk to the chairperson of the workshop during the week of the 28th. So that's why most committees are told not to actually have oversight that week. Then the committee is going to have anything planned for the week of the 21st, it would be from the Tuesday afternoon after the committee is finalized. So if there are no meetings, if the committee is off early in the morning and will obviously go to ABC the same day, then the committee could possibly be there Tuesday for oversight coming back to Friday. But that is the if there are any amendments, even if it's a word too, then the committee will have to
the third stage to analyze that law. So that is something to keep in mind. So the committee chairs are going to be in training from the Tuesday. Right. Beside the subject, probably three honorable members before I recognize the head of honorable members, would we want to say if we are to deal with the bill, say, 1 day, 2 days, the rest of the other, the remainder of the other days, what is it that can be able to do oversight over? That is one of the things which to me are very, very important. If we are to sit Tuesday, finish the bill, which actually, or if we finish the bill by Friday, we will be invited to deal with that. It will depend on how we will be able to comprehend. So, but the proposal will be if we that week of oversight we are to deal with the bill, it is beyond that, if we consider as our oversight, where can we do that oversight? Honorable Dictators, I've seen your hand, Honorable Ramataka.
Okay, I just want to understand. From the suggestion proposed is that there be two trips abroad, if I understand that correctly. And that is the case, as well as Kataris, is will that be permitted? Are we allowed to do that? Or is it up to the committee to provide these budgets? Perhaps we'll just guidance on that. And then my other point is in response to your query, Chair, there are two issues that I think that's not in my mind, but that may not be the case of the committee. The one is due to the confusion of the parliamentary program, we never got to do that joint portfolio committee sitting with the public enterprises. And I really feel it is, you know, the reality is there's a tug of war by the officials in public enterprise and transport, where they're using the same assets for different purposes. And I wonder if that could not be a good opportunity, number one, to perhaps coordinate with that committee and do an oversight both in Transnet and in Prasa and perhaps inform ourselves a little more. And the other issue is the RTMC and RTIA and their issues with regards to road safety, statistics, ARTO, all these issues which continue to kill thousands of people every year in our roads. But those are the main issues that I can think of.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Chair. I was going to suggest, I don't know the Venerable speaks about if if there is amendment and we final at the bill on Thursday, should we just plan that we, according to our plan so far as I can see, there is going to be, if there has been less public comments on the bill, if anything is going to be amendment, is going to be initiated by the committee during the course of our clause. As far as I can see, we can put the day of the 22nd as the day to finalize the bill. Not that day finishes most for the midnight at 12 o'clock. That's the day we finish the bill. Then we can then plan and say inland the shortest or the following day where we can go to oversize. We can fly in the morning, we have to fly to our station, then do the oversight.
Mm-hmm.
So we have two and a half days until Friday to do that. Let's plan it like that.
Mm-hmm.
If it fails because of material condition of the venue first, we will then be able to change the plan. So but the planning and preparing for the oversight need a little bit more time. Cancelling is much easier to cancel what you've already had as a program, rather than to be sitting here for 3 days not having anything to do because we're waiting for the 21st to see if we finish or not finish. That's the one part of the solution on that. Then I think that I will leave the permissible and non-permissible issue to the secretary of the committee. My issue is that we either want to have one trip, but it motivated the such because it's two different things that do two different areas. Or it's agreed before that it is done in two parts. So maybe if you can't do it in January, February because of the money issue, then obviously you'll delay it to the next financial year. But the issue of the videos, I think we have some time to make this point. That it is not we're not flying for to go and go to a nightclub. Nor is it to fly to go to Copacabana Beach in Rio.
Mm.
It is about the $900 million investment that we're talking about. And I think that's what we need to run in the head of whoever is the authority in approving maybe the chair of chairs. But what is important is the motivation in the plan, in the thing that we're going to do. If we don't motivate correctly, that's where they will keep it. But I think up in the mind is the issue about the money. France is spending $127 billion in the next 10 years on those things. And we have to make sure that actually the money goes is going the right place.
I think you're correct. In essence, the proposal here is we will go both because we're talking about the locomotives, we're also talking about the coaches, which is an investment that is happening. But also, we want to do oversight because there are engineers who have been trained in both institutions, the German one and the Brazilian one, which actually is part of the things that the proposal that Kafan has made. Beyond that, you will have these people, the Niger, Turkey, whatever that is, where you would have had people who have been trained, who will be coming back to the Republic, so that we can be able to have. So, in essence, it doesn't matter whether we take both ships here now, the fact of the matter is that the ships have to be taken to both Germany and Brazil, irrespective of when we are going to be undertaking this. So that is the bottom line that as a committee we are saying this needs to happen. Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. I want to support my colleague, but I want to propose that we actually make them two trips. And the reason is because, you know, from if hypothetically we would travel to Brazil, I would assume if we didn't want to trip, we'd go straight to Europe. Now, I've been on a few trips, and one thing I've noticed, two things that we made a mistake on, is we crammed the day with an agenda that's overpacked.
by the end of the day you're so exhausted that you're not even listening to the race day meetings. You know, so we'd rather have one or two main issues happening in one day that you can concentrate and put your teeth into. But also we imagine, I think often we're all guilty in looking at the practicality, and I think we would be exhausted to then travel from Brazil with an intense program to then Europe and immediately start working again. So I want to propose, and that's a budgetary problem, I agree with my colleague, we might have to do a new financial year and make it in two trips. So if we can really do it properly, do it justice, and not be a rush job, where at the end of the day, you're so exhausted that you're not even listening to some of these people. And then may I then say, like, while I've got before, is that when we are planning this program, that we're not being over-ambitious. Because every single trip, including for the last one when I was in the last part, was in Home Affairs, which proved to be the best trip I've ever been to, is because we only stuck to one, two, very maximum three meetings in a day. And in each meeting, you really didn't rush through, you had the time to interact, and you had breaks between your body breaks, because we somehow feel that when we're on these trips, then somehow we're different people, and we can do more work than normal. And so I'm just questioning that. So my suggestion is that we do make it two trips, because of just the practicalities and for the other reasons. Thank you.
Thank you very much, that agreed upon. I think out of this, what should happen is that we must write a letter to the CEO to request a plan of action in terms of the things that we will be doing then, but also moving speed to make sure that we process. If possible, September will be ideal for us to go to Brazil. Then January will be the next if we are unable to get the September one. That we are closing on the overnight visit to Brazil or Abidjan to Brazil and Germany. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Just a quick one. I've noticed in the discussion that there's continuous reference of Brazil. Do we have a role as a department or executive department as part of the organization?
No, FAFA is an agency of the Department of Transport.
Yeah.
So the department do have a role in this case. In fact, a lot of role in terms of this. Also the preparation, but I think the shorthand of PRASA is not necessarily to undermine the department. It was mainly for the people who are dealing with the program. Mm-hmm. I understanding if the transport is a department, rather not a department, it's an agency of the department. So there has to be collaboration, a triangle, if you like, in this engagement.
Actually, the letter that will be coming from me, Bagwani, to the chairperson of the board is through the minister.
Okay.
Yeah, through the chairperson of the chairperson of the CEO of the board in terms of the plan of action that he'd like to see. Okay. So the department is not excluded. I think we're taking shortcuts because we're talking about the post office giving the grant of the money. colleagues, there was a proposal that the oversight, maybe 2.5 days of oversight, we should consider interaction with PRASA and Transnet, do oversight over PRASA and Transnet together with the Portfolio Committee of Public Enterprise. And the other proposal was that we must do oversight over RTA or action. That's the proposal, that's the suggestion that has been mentioned, Honorable Member.
No, I think that there are two periods. There's November and July. So I think the one we should make it a choice on the PRASA Transnet. Particularly, I mean, there is still a concern about the infrastructure, which is infrastructure that one belongs, there's one leg that belongs to Transnet and the other leg belongs to or being operated by PRASA. So that part, I think we should try and see if we can do the November one as a joint because of the preparation that must happen and also uncertainty about the joint. And the July 1, it should be, we should focus on the, whichever, what is our TMC, what is our TIA, but I'm saying that the committee must, or the secretariat there, must come up with something that is very tangible that we can go and see and deal with.
Honorable
Spender? Yes, sir. No, I just propose something in the issue. Not to say I can keep on with the colleagues. That's why earlier on I requested that maybe he should second to the meeting so that we allow some of the processes. Now, here is the angle which I wanted to propose even earlier on. Since Chairperson, I thought that for us it would be strategical maybe to try and identify to the 9 provinces as such an example. You still remember that we have identified problem which is a challenge at some of the rail lines were shut down in Northern Cape, that Newport and etc. can be destroyed for example. And while we never done everything, anything for that, and decided that there were properties, including land which belong to maybe some run or whatever, never to done any outside visit. I'll take a lot of examples. Therefore, you know, to me it was going to be very strategical if we can start now in each province and identify when we can visit the target, where we can target. So that, like maybe looking outside or international, that we have an impact on, I mean, around locally. Because we do have a lot of design issues for Trafa. I agree, really support the billions which is coming to Trafa, but at the same time, where are you going to implement some of these programs? I want to be implemented on the ground. So we must make the ground to be very tight. That's why earlier on I replicate one of the three so that we can come up with the problem. I'll set an example before I raise my hands. No, there's a problem which I've learned from health where they have identified some of the hospitals. I'm just setting an example. In the different provinces and then they visited as part of the operating. That's why I would say maybe to come up with the later on the files, suggesting that we leave it to the committee and then we give them guidelines on what we really want so that we can go to the different provinces. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Let me indicate that the reason why I push it is because we must make submission on the parliamentary program. So that is why I'm insisting that we should be able to identify. I'd like to ask Musa if you get my point. Musa is authoritarian. I can do that. Musa is. I don't want to be authoritarian and just decide on your behalf because I want to make a submission to the chair of chairs. That is why. As you're coming up with these ideas, we will, together with the staff, make sure that we are able to zero in and make a proposal and a submission, which actually we all have an understanding of what are the critical things. I'm happy because now we have looked at the entities who are now looking into issues of infrastructure. It's ideal for us. Because we're talking about rail, road, how do we deal with this thing. So as it is, it gives us an idea as to how are we going to make sure that in the end, this will be the proposal. Remember, we're doing this up until the end of the financial year. The proposal that must submit, which is saying up until the 31st of March, this is what the committee is making as a proposal. Honorable Ramakaka, which I guess is hard to
do. I just wanted to follow the honorable member next to me. There was this discussion about the
yes.
And then where the process is going to be using to manufacture the coaches.
Yes.
some way in Niger. I think there is a very
long time.
Yes. There is a value in July somewhere that we can target that and something else in terms of the agency that we already referred to. So I think that we should just concretize that, given that we are planning for September to go to Brazil for those coaches and training, we need to know where the effect is going to be. So there is a basic the logic in the vessels that we're doing. So I want to suggest that you already say we need to do that, and then of course there's something else. And then November we do a joint thing with the Transnet committee. You know the areas in terms of where which areas we want to focus on.
I think we are
dealing
with
the
proposals as made by all of the members will be taken into consideration as the analyzing our program of action, the annual plan. Are there any other issues, members, that we need to use fighter?
No, nothing.
How about Kalsi?
circulation. I don't hear any reason why it is not here. I remember we had these 2 weeks ago since the workshop, and we all have agreed on the agency of it. So may you, I'm sure you owe this committee some explanation as to why we don't have it here. So if I pause for a moment just today, because if there's no other committee for today, then next time it's going to be when we meet on the 2nd, maybe the 1st. The 1st of July. And I must say, I don't have a problem in circulation. I just think it's a right thing to do that it is presented here to say this is the outcome of that particular meeting. So,
thank you very much, Honorable Rama Takana. That's why I said, I thought because probably last week today I wasn't here, in terms of the agreement and the from the third plan, we agreed that we will finalize the APP last week Tuesday for submission.
Last week it was a public holiday, and there's also the committee that are coordinated. Currently, doesn't have one. So we took the COVID security last week, and I couldn't touch base this week with the facilitator that was given to us because the focus was on the role. But there was a public
holiday. Honorable Mayor, how can we make sure that all of us, in terms of the APP for submission, circulation is okay, but it becomes very good that we sit like this and discuss and we own up to the document. How do we deal with the impasse? Honorable Rusi, Honorable Mlaoui, followed by Honorable Ramatlaka, you are all going to talk on this matter. I insist. From the exchange. You can't give an excuse that you're not there in the workshop or to save money. You must talk. He will talk.
Say on behalf of our party. We quite prepared to, you know, put time in whenever, you know, special arrangements need to be made for consideration. We also have a greater appreciation for discussion like this and engagement around the table, rather than to just have it circulated and to wait for whenever we get together. So from our side, we're quite prepared to step down and be prepared to come to an arrangement, special arrangement about the meeting to engage about this.
Honorable
Lawson. Yeah, I don't think I have any objection to be part of collective.
Can we maybe request the committee secretary to circulate today? Maybe tomorrow, say from 1:30 to 3:00, we see Valerie, can that be doable?
It's possible, Chair, but I will have to start an application to House Chairperson for permission for the committee to meet that time.
Let's make a tentative arrangement that tomorrow, say 1:30 until 4:30. The parliament is tomorrow.
Yes,
I'll
be meeting.
You got a meeting. Which will be the ideal time?
Tomorrow is a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Normally the session starts at 3.
Yes.
So with a long lunch break from 1 to 3. So we could slot up a committee at 1 because it's going to be a specific one issue.
Yeah.
One to 2 and then we're done and then we can still have lunch before that. So I think it's a working lunch.
Unfortunately, we are tied up with a meeting then already from 2:00. But if that's the only time available for the majority of members, you know, then it just has to happen then. It should be fine then.
From 1 to 2?
That is when, 1 to 2 could work, because our meeting starts at 2.
Yeah.
let's make it from 1 to 2 and get submission distributed to all of us, and then it will just be issues of immediately going into engagement and discussion and adoption and finishing. 30 minutes will be fine.
So we'll have the documents circulated before the meeting.
There's a draft. Yeah, there is a draft. Remember, we're dealing with.
There is a draft.
Yeah. There is a draft. Just that. Let's look at that, honorable members, and then come. What is happening here?
I was just complaining about the size of the print, that it was very small, but I'm getting my spectacles soon.
Okay. It goes with age. Honorable members, are there other issues that we see? Can I finally, adjourn the meeting?
One o'clock tomorrow.
Yes. Thank you very much. I want to teach you how to go there. Thank you very much.
Thank you.